Who is kombucha for? Grab a booch and let's find out. I was more reserved today.
You're saving your energy. You got a lot of things to do.
Got a lot of conversations to have.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, but I'm going to give this podcast my all.
It's a high priority.
It is.
Absolutely.
I love to sit down every week. We get to go through the inner workings of the industry.
Inner workings, the outer workings.
The unfiltered raw takes.
No, that's
later.
The other one.
That's later. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this one, though. This is always a good thing to chat about, reorient the mind towards.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good one. It's a little bit lower stakes. Not that it's ever high stakes, but...
It's kombucha. It's always high stakes.
No, it's not.
You're saying there's greater things in the world?
I think there's more important beverages in the world. Oh no.
Wrong podcast.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, don't drink water. But we do have some important news to share with everyone.
You better believe we do. Yep. This is my third favorite thing that happens every single week.
I want to see this order.
I need to do like one of those Instagram reels, you know, where like someone's like putting up their fingers and like captions are popping up.
I actually want to hear you like work through your ranking of how important these things are.
Number one. Favorite thing every week. Bi-weekly subscriptionaries.
Is that
a word?
Just
bi-weekly subscriptions.
Yeah.
I love you people.
Bi-weekly subscriptions.
That means that you are fully stocked for kombucha almost every day.
You're our people. The bi-weekly, they're our people.
You're drinking booch with the best of them. The best of them is us. At least in volume.
That's exactly it. You at least drink as much as we do. Close. Kombucha. Hey. You drink as much. You at least.
You're trying to hang.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's my favorite people.
Not Trey. Trey's a different creature.
He's a different animal. Number two. My monthly subscription people. I love you all so much.
Subscribers. Just, you're the best.
You, for a small business, you are our core.
We're happy to give you.
We love you, people.
Our kombucha.
And we're going to be working ever greater to give greater benefits to those people.
Yep. We got some things
Number three,
coming down the pike.
And then we got to get actually into this episode.
All right.
Number three is new Patreonites.
Oh,
and that's what we got to talk
about
right now. Absolutely. Mr. Sean Robert. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
It's for the cost of a kombucha, you are now a month. One kombucha a month.
Yeah.
You are supporting this podcast, getting some awesome cool deals on the back end, more extra content, more info, blah, blah, blah. So we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being
also,
a supporting member.
Also.
What's that?
Oh.
Free 8-pack potential. One time a month, we pick out a lucky winner.
Hang around long enough, it's a guarantee.
Absolutely. The odds are in your favor.
They are.
But we ship out 1 8-pack a month to one lucky winner.
That's
one
right.
Lucky Patreon winner. So, anyways, Sean, best of luck to you on that. And we really appreciate the support on a real level. Okay, let's dive in, buddy.
All right. Did you just call me buddy?
Yeah, I did. You caught it.
I don't even want to do this anymore.
I know. That's the worst. It is the worst.
I've heard worse. I don't want to tell you all
the things
I've
been called. Barista during COVID. You heard worse.
Oh. I really did. I got it just about every name.
But Trevor.
That's the worst. They didn't even know my name. I was just that douchebag across the counter. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Dude. Anyway, so we just kind of want to talk about who is kombucha for. So kombucha is extremely versatile. It does not always get that kind of clout. So we just kind of want to like flesh out who will enjoy kombucha and why it's like what makes this so versatile, what makes it so enjoyable for so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about like some of the subcategories, but we're going to talk about the major category.
I would say, just jumping right in.
Yeah.
I would say the reason most people come to kombucha, we've said it a lot on this podcast. I mean, I say it a lot every day, probably whenever we're talking about it.
Yep.
Is that the vast majority of people that come to kombucha are coming to it for its gut health benefits. They heard, hey, probiotics, it's good for your gut, right? And they're looking for a healthier option, maybe got some intestinal things going on, or just want to have a little bit better overall health. They heard something about a gut-brain axis, treat your gut well, your body health goes well, blah, blah, blah. Something along those in that category, I'd say, is the vast majority of people that come to kombucha that I've experienced over the last 4.5 years.
Well, I mean, yeah, especially on this side of the nation, this particular region.
Yes.
That's the vast majority of the exposure that it's going to be. But I do have to say, like, as there's been more and more different kinds of, like, carbonated beverages that have come onto the scene, between different kinds of sparkling waters and different kinds of even like kind of craft sodas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's increased to being just a really fun category, and kombucha can kind of find itself in there if done correctly.
Yeah. but yeah, I've mainly noticed that, but it has been cool. I have been noticing, even on a more like a localized here in Lexington on Saturdays here at the tap room, I have been noticing a lot more, and this isn't just because of dry January and like beginning of the year, but I've been noticing so many more people that are into craft beverage, like alcohol,
mm-hmm.
that are looking for something to help substitute some of those beverages, but they have a taste for craft beverage.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things, if you are a craft beer lover, if you are like a wine drinker,
ciders.
Hard ciders, like mixology, you know, like cocktails and things, there's not too much out there that's going to, there's more today, but there's not too many things that are going to whet that palate for kind of the taste that you're looking for, mm-hmm. to substitute though for the alcohol. And I mean, even over most of the like non-alcoholic beers, non-alcoholic wines that I've tried, I would say a decent amount of them, is that kombucha just has, it has the same kind of sit there and sip this, don't necessarily like, you're not going to just like turn this back and crush it down unless you're Trey on the canning line.
Yeah.
Cracking cans and
but several.
Yeah.
Several
oh,
of
yeah.
them.
Oh, yeah. But it's something that you can kind of sit with, drink it at a reasonable pace,
yeah.
and get an explosion of flavor and that same type of alcohol experience. So, and especially the way that we approach ours, I say this ad nauseum, we approach them, at least from a flavor and experience standpoint,
yeah.
from like more of a cocktail vantage point, not pretentious cocktail vantage point, but kind of like a thinking about aroma, thinking about the entire drinking experience,
yeah.
aroma, the actual, you know, the slightly sweet, balancing that with the sours, just enough sugar to make it in there, you know, with all the just obviously layering of different flavors that we do.
Right.
We approach it from that kind of like cocktail standpoint,
yeah.
which gives it a very unique and pleasurable experience. And so I have been noticing a ton more people, all that to say, coming from that, trying to substitute a few of those alcoholic beverages during the week out. And we've been having great success, which makes me super happy to be helping people cut back on a few, even if it's just from their vantage point, they're just trying to cut back on a few of their booze beverages throughout the week, then to be able to be infusing all these kind of under the radar organic acids,
mm-hmm.
amazing microorganisms from the natural fermentation, blah, 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 and getting to infuse all those along with it. It's pretty rad.
How has that changed the conversations you've been having with a customer? I'm thinking more specifically Saturdays, if as those have been coming in. Yeah. How has that changed like your normal conversations with customers?
Well, I would say still most of the people have some concept of kombucha.
Yeah.
Or they've been sent here by somebody that has been here with us. Or so it's not as much ground zero anymore,
right,
as when we were open for way more hours and there'd just be people kind of wandering in for a new experience, you know, just checking out new places in town.
Yeah.
It's more so there's people coming with some sort of starting point in kombucha or craft beer or something like that.
Gotcha.
And so, but it's been fun to talk on that, especially probably the biggest influx is craft beer people. Mm-hmm. They're just looking for something. And so to be able to speak the language of craft beverage with them is really cool because we do have multiple hop varietal ones, yeah, which are an easy transfer over.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's been a really cool kind of, and that's where we kind of land anyways. We've talked about this often.
Yeah.
We kind of lean into the brewer culture.
Yeah.
And not so much probiotic, this is a healthy thing for you, even though we really geek out and go over the top on all that stuff on the back end, on the forward facing end. We're kind of trying to lean into that role of, hey, we are the microbrewery. We are your local microbrewery. We are the microbrewery of the kombucha world.
Yeah.
With that craft focus.
Right.
Yeah. So that's been cool. It's been cool to interact with that community. I hope more and more,
yeah,
in the future.
Yep. So, I mean, that's a big part of like the major category that it falls into, just as a carbonated beverage and how it finds. And then there's the original one, which is more the health and wellness.
Absolutely.
Kind of major category.
Yeah.
That which we still very much participate in. I don't know if it's fair to say we emphasize the one over the other because we kind of keep going back and forth.
Well, it's just a thing to where we really geek out and take the health properties of the beverage incredibly seriously in the production. Like,
yeah,
crafting our very meticulously crafted in-house culture.
Well, yeah, because the health element is part of the craft. Because
exactly,
it's not kombucha if it doesn't have some of these elements.
Yeah. Well, some would argue on that.
I don't care.
Me either. But between taking that so seriously, being committed to the whole ingredients, fresh ingredients, this entire past week on social media, we had a whole rundown,
right,
on just the value of fresh and whole ingredients that we are pressing or blending or putting right into our brews here,
right,
in-house, not,
yeah,
you know, in some distant factory, pasteurized, blah, 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 down the road, extracts. All we've talked about all that.
Visit last episode for more.
Exactly. But, and then taking all that super seriously. So that's our baseline.
Yeah.
To where when someone starts inquiring about the health, it's like, boom, 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 boom. Full transparency. Here you go.
Yeah.
But on the forward end, we're trying to lean heavier into the craft of the beverage experience itself, just like the actual consuming and flavor experience,
mm-hmm,
the taste thrill, some might say.
Some. Some might say.
Cool people would say.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to skip around just a little bit. So, if we were to stick super heavily to the health element, do you think that that would isolate some of our clientele? Or do you think that, or do you think it's the opposite? Do you think the appealing to a more brewery culture and everything, could that be isolating to other clientele at all?
Well, it's a good question. I want to step back from that question for a minute and,
yeah,
answer another question.
Yeah.
Is that one of the things I found to be very important is to lean into your personal,
mm-hmm,
passion,
mm-hmm,
before trying to think about isolating and that type of stuff, to be like, what is it about this that makes me so excited to basically give my life to it?
Some might say, find your why.
Find your why. Some. Most would say.
Yeah. There's a guy named Simon. I think he says it a lot.
Sinek?
No. No. Whatever Simon says.
Pretty much. You can pretty much go with that. But exactly.
Microdosing.
Finding your why, finding the bedrock of why you come back to this every day. What good, positive change in value are you trying to put into the world and let last beyond your involvement in that thing? And so realizing that the craft of the beverage itself is the part that gets me the most excited the building out of the process and scaling it, but keeping that, you know, keeping all of our values and the quality and, you know, learning how to blend all these different flavor combinations and learning how to extract the ingredients, but keeping the health viable, but also unlocking the flavor of those and, you know, mixing flavor with function and experience and seasonality and all these things. And just all that mixed together, that's what makes me excited.
Yeah.
Is to be able to do all that and do it right and to be able to long form discuss it on a podcast and be able to visually show people the brewery on social media. And when people come here, it's not like, and they're like, could we have a tour? It's like, wait a minute while I go clean up all the stuff I don't want you to see.
Yeah.
It's like
hide away all the extracts.
It's like not having that.
They go back to see the brewery and it's just
not there. Not that room.
No. It's actually just an office. It's just like, well, this is where we order this, and then this is where we order that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so the craft, the brewing itself side of it is the side that gets me excited.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to showcase that better and better. And I will say one of our weak areas has been in the past just being able to really showcase that in a compelling way. And that's what we're trying to lean more into that this year and in the years to come, is displaying that just naturally as it is in a more compelling way so that it's more transparent and people understand. What we've talked about to nauseam on here is that not all kombuchas are created equal. That's not necessarily a bad or like a lesser or greater thing. It's just people have different approaches. People have different end goals and values and ways they go about things. And so being able to be transparent about what we do and the links that we go and the things that we put value in, and then see if that, and then be like, display that. And then as kind of like, you have kind of like push and pull marketing, and we want to be more of the pull. Mm-hmm. We put this out there and then let people respond to it.
Yeah.
Who align with those same values. Right. So long-winded answer to say, I really personally, and we all have kind of adopted that brewery, that craft beverage culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been on all of us even before working here in various capacities.
Yep.
Wine, beer, you know, bar world and coffee world for me, you and Trey.
Yep.
Specialty coffee world.
Yep.
And so just realizing that kombucha is our medium and to paint with all the different colors of the process and everything. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Good.
So
all right.
All that to say, That ends that first conversation. The second part is that's the culture we want to create. Trying to think, even though we do try to take in all the feedback that we can from customers.
Right.
It has to go through that filter. It has to go through that filter of, not to be confused with kombucha filtration. Bad dad jokes. It's happening to me.
I mean, it's all we do around here.
Yeah, pretty much. But so to take in all the information, but then to put it back through the filter of this is who we are.
Yeah.
At the bedrock, like, we are craft beverage producers who care about these things. And so we'll listen to that feedback. And if we can include that, we think it's a great idea through that filter and make that an idea, then awesome.
Yeah.
If not, if it fights the main vision, the why, the purpose, the values, mm-hmm. then we have to kind of let that go to the side.
Yep.
And so, in order to actually make a deep impact, not just a really far spanning wide,
yeah,
2-inch deep,
yeah,
type of thing.
Yep.
There we go.
Nope. I think that's really good. So we kind of talked about, you know, some of the clientele that, are usually come because they have some kind of reference point, whether it be, they were sent here for some kind of like health need, or
yeah.
they had some like curiosity because they already had a taste, a palate for it, or a developed palate.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, what if you could break down like maybe some kind of categories or some groups that are naturally drawn to kombucha without needing to create a reference point for them?
Number one category, my granola folk out there. Deep love for you.
Yeah. They carried it.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, kombucha just fits so naturally into a natural lifestyle.
There you go. Way to go. You're doing good. You're ready for those sales trips. This is practice, baby.
My girls have been out of town. I've gotten a few extra hours of sleep. But
good.
So my granola folk out there, my natural foods world, that is, they understand the values as soon as you display them.
Yeah.
There's no convincing. It's like, does align. Yeah, absolutely.
I have to say, they're also familiar with weird and obscure as well for like some foods. So,
and that's the thing.
So I think that seeing the pellicle is not as alarming to them.
Yeah.
As maybe it is for some people.
Well, and I would, you know, it's just a travesty and it that kombucha is a weird thing. Because it's been around.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just, it's weird that fermented stuff is weird.
I love you have like 5 soapboxes.
Absolutely.
And we're always hitting them.
Absolutely.
It's great.
You know.
And one of them, and this is one of them.
Absolutely.
It's so weird that fermented foods are not a normal part of the American diet when
it's
all
so
of humanity, it's always
throughout
been a major
the course
part.
Of history.
Yep.
Fermentation has been there.
Yep.
We've just,
or
in Western,
or when you think of, when you think of alcoholic beverages, your brain does not go to fermentation either.
Yeah.
Cause fermentation is a part of that process.
That's
but
what
that's,
it is.
That is what it is. But that's not what fermentation is not associated with.
Yeah.
That
when
development.
People think about beer, they just think about beer.
Right.
Thinking about brewing, but they don't think about the fermentation. This went through fermentation. That's how alcohol comes.
Yeah. They're ingredient minded, not process minded.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I lost my train of thought. But
that's
all
okay.
that to say is it's strange that fermentation is weird.
Yeah.
Because and I mean you can trace it back, and I've heard, you know, way smarter people than me talk about it, and you can trace it back in Western society to the refrigerator.
Mm, yeah.
When the refrigerator came, there was no need for preservation.
Mm.
Well, at least in the same ways. You could just easily skip that part and just throw it in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And so that was a huge part of it. Yeah, that was one of the biggest.
Mm.
And then obviously we won't go down this route today, but major commercialization of foods, food science labs
mm-hmm.
that popped up to absolutely addict you to the worst possible foods and beverages on planet Earth that trick both your physiology and your taste buds into absolutely becoming addicted to these things. And so as you go into those sweet salts and fats, you lose your taste for sour and acids, vinegars, things like this, and blah, blah, blah. So
box number 2.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that natural foods culture has preserved.
Nice. Way to go.
Preserved the fermentation, sprouting, things like this.
Yeah.
The sourdough breads, the kefirs, mm-hmm. Kombuchas, things like this. So that's been exciting. So that's number one. Another would be what kind of blends out of that, but what I call them is the earthy sports, which are just sport that is attached to as close to the earth as possible out in nature. So things like, rock climbing, mountain biking, distance running, yoga, things like this that mm-hmm. are associated with being connected to the earth.
Yeah.
And I think some of that comes from realizing things like grounding and the benefits of those types of
things.
That's
what I was thinking of.
And just realizing that there's power in being connected to the earth.
Yeah.
And so that's another like picture perfect community that just understands right away.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it kind of, I think, becomes a little more challenging, which is just kind of like someone that wants something a little better for you, the better for you beverage category of people. Yeah. And then you have kind of like people that are wanting a substitute for soda or alcohol, which is kind of
that
same,
falls in better
same,
for you.
Yeah. Same camp. And then down the line with others. But.
Yep. I would say, let's talk about the better for you kind of category. Because if they come to it, there's a lot of reasons why they would for different people. So some of them might be like lower calorie, lower sugar, lower alcohol. Are there any others that would kind of entail?
Low carb, maybe.
Low carb. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that care about that.
Yeah. Yep.
And those are the big ones.
Yeah.
And just as a personal aside, I kind of hate that whole thing. Mm-hmm. Because people... Someone said this, actually, when we used to do podcast interviews on here a long time back.
Yeah.
And it's the whole concept of... People want to see...
Shout out to Travis from Babe Kombucha.
People want to see below like 8-6 grams of sugar and something, but they want to taste like 16 to 18.
Yeah.
Like, or more.
Yeah.
Most people.
Yep.
And it's because of blah, 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 all that stuff I talked about earlier, but that's a hard thing to be into with trying to balance the values, but what people want. And so that's the better for you category is a strange one in some ways, because there's a lot of tricks on the back end. There's a lot of tricks in the ingredients, processes, how people create things to stay within the what people want to see visually, but what they taste and what they are really consuming as far as the raw, real ingredients and mainly the lack thereof, it's a pretty wide gap.
Yep. That's one of those things I thought was really cool about our stuff. Like, we didn't necessarily chase doing any of that. We mostly chased kind of good ingredients and good process, for the most part.
Clean and crushable, baby.
Clean and crushable. That's what we chased, and, come what may. But... when we got our nutrition facts, like when they got tested and came back, it was like how low it is in sugar and everything else, just purely on the basis of like using good clean stuff was also really cool. But it's also not our main like push that we're given, because, and this comes back to another one of your soapboxes, is
I'm glad they're taking root.
Yeah, well, I mean.
You at least remember them.
I at least remember them. The idea of like, okay, like where, are, like what is your allocations? So your sugar allocation, your calorie allocation, and just like, okay, you got you're drinking a beverage that's low in calorie, but you're still going to eat, that massive, you're still going to eat those three.
I mean, we're ordering pizza tonight.
We're ordering pizza and I ate three donuts on Monday morning and heading out, which is something we
conversations
talked about
during morning meeting.
Yeah,
we're right by a really cool donut shop, but I just couldn't imagine.
No.
Three donuts first thing Monday morning.
I'd be out.
Let's get the week going.
I'd be out.
I couldn't do it.
No. Honestly, like halfway through the first one,
I'm done.
I'd be like, I don't feel good.
I need to go home now.
Well, honestly, it's just like, if that happens, I go into it knowing this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And then I just feel I just feel bad about the fact that I did it anyway.
I know.
It's honestly,
isn't that the worst?
It's not even the sugar and the food. It's just like, I just made a bad decision. I'm just a terrible decision maker. Yep. It's the weight of that.
Yep.
I guess that'd be me though. That's, you know, not to,
we're similar vibes.
Yeah. Now I've lost my train of thought.
It's all good. It seems like this is the episode for that.
We're just riffing a lot about this, but it's true. Like, it's kombucha is extremely versatile. It's good for a lot of people, and there are some that are going to be naturally drawn to it naturally. Yeah. And there are some where, you know, after you get some exposure, find out how much this actually does align with what your goals are and what your desires are.
Yeah.
Too. But I was just making a comment about, we don't push that better for you element. One, we feel iffy about it as kind of like a marketing thing.
It's kind of like, but what I was going to say is, it's kind of like, what do you call it when you go to college and you have your main degree, but then you have your secondary?
Mistake. Your minor. Your major and your minor.
It's kind of our minor. It's something we care, like, is the absolute most major thing on the back end.
I mean,
all you'd have to do is work here for about 2 weeks to understand that.
That's true.
But it's like the major part on the back end. But on the forward end, it's kind of like our minor.
Yeah.
And we're trying to be relatable, to pull more people that don't know what the heck kombucha is or have any awareness of it into the beautiful world of kombucha. So we're trying to widen the doors a little bit, like we've been talking about lately.
Yeah.
And relate with that craft beverage culture, which there's a big category of people out there.
Exactly.
They're in that craft beverage culture. And we want to try to just show them, hey, here's an awesome other medium and look what we can do with it. Come and try it.
Yep.
Come and see.
That leads us to I think our next one, which I think is actually the coolest one, which are the taste thrills and the mixology.
Oh man, this is where it just gets fun.
This is where it gets really, really cool.
This is where it's just, kombucha is one of the most unique things, I feel like, in this way, to where just any real raw, just real whole, most, I mean, just a vast amount of ingredients just layer amazing into kombucha.
Absolutely.
I mean, spices, herbs, roots, fruits,
yep, and
vegetables.
Just kind of like thinking through like the sweet, the acid, the bitters, all those
aroma.
The aroma, all of it.
Just, it's so fun.
Yep.
It's just the greatest time in the world when we're whiteboarding what's next.
That's
which we
true.
We got to do another one soon. We're still crushing that winter sunrise, though.
I mean, we really are.
Dude, this last weekend, it was flying off the shelves again.
It should be.
So
it deserves it.
It's so good.
Absolutely.
It's like the perfect. It was almost a happy. It's not an accident, but it almost feels sometimes like it's like this happy accident that you walk into, and it's just like, this was the perfect winter flavor. It was amazing. Anyhow.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the flavor combinations is where it's just so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying things, sometimes failing. And that's what makes it so fun, because sometimes it's like, it's decent, but it's not my most exciting thing that we've made, which is usually the one that people like the most. It's so crazy how that works out. But, where it gets pretty fun.
Yeah. So when you're on the sales circuit, I know that when you're going to Whole Foods, you just walk in there, you got your swagger on, because you know you have an in. You worked at Whole Foods, you know how to work it.
Yeah,
you're good. You got maybe some restaurants, some cafes, stuff like that. what's it like for you when you go into bars, or you're talking to bartenders?
I love it.
Yeah, tell me a little bit what that experience is for you.
I mean, obviously, I'm choosy with the ones that I go into in the first place.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm not going down to your PBR bar.
No?
No. Even though...
You mean just personally?
This is a quick random aside, but when I was up in Peoria, Illinois,
yeah,
this past week on a sales trip, I went to the second production facility that it's since retired, but of the PBR, where like they're from Milwaukee, but
yeah,
they had their satellite place that was in Peoria. It's been shut down for a number of years now, but it has like its whole, like this big plaque out front telling you the story.
That's
but then
super cool.
Within 2 years ago, this awesome bar went back into the space, and dude, the vibe was just spectacular, and they had the huge PBR and all like the old history of the cans and pictures. It was freaking amazing.
That's
but anyways,
awesome.
But I had a great time talking to this guy. So not to put that in a bad rap, because he was super stoked up about it. We had he was a great mixologist and all this stuff. But anyways, usually a little more choosy with the like alcohol serving joints that we go into.
Yeah.
But my kind of play in those places is, hey, do you ever have anyone in here that needs to have an NA option? And that's kind of the end. It's kind of like you're going to have parties of people that are out hanging out.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a pregnant gal.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be, you know, someone who's already had a few too many. You're going to have a DD. You're going to have, someone that sat down and had a couple. And then they want to hang out still, but they know they got to drive home. Hey, here's an awesome crafted beverage. Something new to try. That you can still keep hanging with.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of those types of scenarios. Or just a growing number of sober folk that don't consume.
That's true.
So being able to, it makes me excited. Because the one amazing thing that our culture kind of misses a little bit compared to like European cultures is like your local pub, your local bar, whatever you want to call it. And just the community that can bring everyone, the same folk come back here every Thursday night, whatever it is. And you know, y'all hang out, maybe play board games, trivia, chat it up, whatever it is, just that community building. So to be a part of that culture and give the local folk when and wherever we're at an amazing beverage experience that isn't just a freaking Coca-Cola while everyone else around them is drinking cocktails and,
yeah,
you know, like specialty beers and those types of things is so rewarding. And I love it. So I love going into those types of places.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're also, you also like facing challenges too. So that's the other thing I've heard you talk about is, you know, you're talking to someone who's a mixologist, so they have like very discretionary palate. And so kind of putting our beverage to the test with them is also a lot of fun.
It's nerve-wracking every time,
yeah,
but so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Yep.
Yeah. It's cool to see, even on this past trip, people get excited when they're trying it,
mm-hmm,
that have very weathered palates. And then also going into spots that people have never tried kombucha in their life, or they tried it once and they hated it, and then getting to just draw them in with a new experience.
See, that one's my favorite. That's my favorite thing to do with people.
To resurrect the category of kombucha for people.
Exactly.
That's what we're about, baby.
That's right.
This has been good.
Yep.
I think we got to cut it off.
I think we're good.
We're going to jump over on the Patreon. We got a cool raw topic today. Should you target a specific kombucha audience or not? We kind of answered it, but
I got some feelings, though.
We got some things. And kind of our take on that. So we're going to be jumping on the Patreon.
Yep.
You can find the link down in the description. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Thank you so much for listening in. It means so very much. One little free, quick way that you could help support this podcast is a 5-star review. It takes you, what, 5 seconds?
Less.
Probably less. Give us a little 5-star review, trying to broaden the kombucha marketplace and just community of people that fall in love with fermented beverages.
Yep.
Trying to expand that into our culture and beyond. You can always join us on the Patreon, more exclusive content. Be entered in to win a free 8-pack a month. We send out one lucky winner, an 8-pack. End of the month's coming. Another one's going to be going out.
It's coming.
Behind the scenes content and all kinds of more deals and special offers and first access and blah, 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 blah. It's good. Yeah. We got nationwide shipping. If you've been listening to this podcast for some of you years, we can say years now.
We can. 2
years.
Yep.
And never tried the product. You need to see if we're full of a load of crap.
Oh, come on.
You need to see if we're full of a load of crap. Anyways.
I loved one of our recent listeners confess, like, I've never tried it. So he ordered some. And I hope he actually became a Patreon member. So it ended up being awesome.
What a guy.
What a guy. So you should do the same.
Absolutely. Shipping directly to your door. We distribute regionally. Check the map feature. More and more locations.
Yep.
Coming. If you are in our state or in a state that touches our state, we can probably get to you or your most local place where you'd love to grab some Thrive Brew. Hit us up. You can always, you can message us info@thrivebrewco.com. Trev's going to get back with you. He's going to take that information in. But yeah, you got a local spot that you want us to try to get into, please let us know. We'd love to reach out. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much for coming along for another ride on the podcast. Cheers.